Vishnu Sahasranama, name 786, is Duravasa. We just had in Vishnu Sahasranama the names Durlabh, Durgam, Durga. It's the name for Vishnu, Durga, not Durga, Durga, which all have very similar meanings. And now there's another name, Duravasa, which also has a similar meaning. Dur means difficult. Avasa means place of residence. Or Durlabh means difficult to achieve. Durgama means difficult to go to. Durga means difficult to enter into due to being protected. And Duravasa means one whose place of residence is not easy to attain. It's not easy to go to the spiritual world, as Parashara Bhatta points out, the first Sri Vaishnava commentator on Vishnu Sahasranama. Evam cha dure dushkara tat pada avasa iti duravasaha. Going to his world means it's not like going to Disney World. You go for some tourism and look around and come back. But to go there means yad gatvana nivartante tadhama paramam mama. To go to the spiritual world means to go there without coming back. So we have to be sure we want to go there. Because it's possible to divorce your wife, but once you go back to Godhead, you're not coming back. Some relationships are negotiable. Even you're not supposed to leave your wife or vice versa. But some things, even though not expected, it can happen. But when you go back to Godhead, you don't come back. So you have to be convinced that we want to go there. And of course, we can't even enter in there unless we really want to go. One of my godbrothers, after practicing Krishna consciousness seriously, from America, in Mayapur, undergoing various austerities which were unavoidable living in Mayapur in the 1970s, decided at some point, I've had enough Krishna consciousness for this life, I'm going back to America. So we may think, yeah, I'll take it up again in another life. And then in the next life, we may think, well, I'll do a little Krishna consciousness in this life. And then I'll take it up in another life. And it can go on like this forever. Often people here in India ask us about worship of demigods. It's very difficult to give up. Maybe the demigod will be angry at me, my friends and relatives, they won't approve. So I can worship the demigods and worship Krishna also. Well, anyway, all the Hindus are doing that already anyway. Most of them. Some of them. But there has to come a point, if we're going to go back to Godhead, where we accept Krishna's offer. Krishna is making an offer at the end of Bhagavad Gita. It's a really good deal for the conditioned soul. Sarva dhaman parityajya mam ekam sharanam raja aham tva sarva paphebhyo moksha yishyami ma suchaha. All you have to do is fully surrender to me without any diversion, means no demigods, and I'll clear all your sins away. That's it. Then you can come to me. That's already said in the previous verse. So it's a really good deal. Otherwise, to get free of sinful reactions, it's practically not possible. By the process of prayaschitta, clearing away our sinful reactions by performing some expiatory process. It doesn't work because we're always committing sins in this world. And the tendency to sin remains. This is discussed, we'll find at the beginning of the sixth chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Shukdev questions Parikshit to see if he's just sitting there making a show of listening or if he's actually understanding what's being said. So at the end of the fifth canto, there are descriptions of the hellish worlds where sinful people go to. Actually, the clue was already there, already before this, but it becomes very clear in the sixth canto when Yamaraj tells his dutas, his representatives, don't bring to me Vaishnavas. You messengers of mine, you Yamadutas, you are very fearful to everyone. But the Yamadutas themselves become fearful of the Vaishnavas, that they'll get in a lot of trouble if they go anywhere near the Vaishnavas. So we have the clue already of that in the Bhagavatam, that we have to fully surrender. We'll be a Vaishnava, chant the holy names of the Lord, and then we won't be attacked by the Yamadutas, and we can go to Krishna. So actually it's relatively easy, but that will be discussed in this discussion coming up. But it's very difficult to attain the spiritual world. It's not easy to go. Generally, it's very difficult. Parampada, the idea of parampada, attainment of parampada in Vaikuntha. This is the preferred term in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya for going, what we call going back to Godhead. Salokya, going back to Godhead means Salokya Mukti, attaining the same planet as the Lord. Of course, the Sri Vaishnavas, they don't want simply to go there, but they particularly want Kainkaryam, or personal service, the opportunity for personal service to the Supreme Lord. Not easily attained, and even Vaikuntha, above Vaikuntha, there is the planet Goloka Vrindavan, or just Goloka. And there are the divisions of Dwarka, Mathura, and Vrindavan is the most precious, sacred, secret, difficult to attain abode. And when you go there, you can take out cows. Wait a minute, that's what they do here, right, on this planet. You don't see it so much around Salem. All around Vellore, there are so many people keeping cows. Must be here also, but it's much there. These, where's Vrindavanath? Is he here? These Gonda people. Oh, here, Gonda and Yadava. They like to keep cows, right? You also like to keep cows. Even before coming to Krishna consciousness, you were keeping cows. Practically, if they're in the village, they must keep at least one or two cows. So you can do that here. I see every morning when I'm staying, the little child, boy or girl, about 8 years old, with this huge bull, peacefully, he's taking him out into the field. And they're, by the age of eight, they're completely competent to handle cows and bulls. And there they have sheep also and all kinds of animals there. So you can do it here. Why do you have to go there? Why do you have to go to the spiritual world, you know? So what happens when you go back to Godhead? Well, you have some cows. Really? Well, I thought we all had to go to the city and get office jobs and get cars and all this. Don't they have cars in the spiritual world? That's in Vaikuntha, flying cars. Elon Musk wants to make flying cars. They're already there. Actually, they're even here in this material world. And they're completely green. Not green. Whoops, we lost the sound. They're completely green. No carbon emissions. What's this? No sound emissions. No? No carbon emissions whatsoever. What's the secret? Clean power. They're powered by mantra. Really? And if you want, you can even go to Siddha Loka, and then you don't even need a vehicle to travel on. You can just go here and there as you like. Just, you want to go somewhere? Just go. That's all. You want to go somewhere? How are we going to go? Are we going to go walking, car, bus, bicycle? Just go. That's all. Just want to go? Then you go. You go from here to there. It's very, very difficult to go to Vrindavan because it's very, very difficult to understand why on earth anyone would want to go there anyway. Seems to make a lot more. If you're going to worship God, God should sit on a big throne and have his wife there, the goddess of fortune. Of course, that also, I mean, even to understand the understanding of God in the Abrahamic religions, well, there's not really much understanding whatsoever. And even so many people in India who worship God, they have this impersonal idea. So even to get any personal idea whatsoever or any clear idea, it's pretty rare. So it's difficult to go to him if you have no idea who he is. It's just, I'm setting out on a journey. I'm going on my spiritual journey. Okay, where are you going? I don't know. Most people who set out on a spiritual journey, they don't really know where they're going. They don't have any idea. But they concoct some idea of how they're going to go. And now in India, the guru, the whole system, you're supposed to learn from a guru about who is God and how to go to him. But the gurus, they don't talk about anything spiritual whatsoever. Nowadays, to be a guru in India means to talk about social issues and give advice for people how they can live more happily in this world. So the whole idea of spiritual life is practically gone. Hinduism, it's not even practically a religion anymore. It's just you have personality, what is this? Personal advisors, personality development and all this. They just, they happen to have some long cloth and a beard. Otherwise, what are they talking? It's just completely material. So how are we going to get any idea that there is a spiritual world and we're supposed to go there? And then we have to distribute Prabhupada's books. That's all. Then people can understand. But even then, to go is not so very easy. There's one verse that Srila Prabhupada liked to quote. Of course, there are many verses that Srila Prabhupada liked to quote. Among them is this verse from the 10th canto of Bhagavatam, describing the condition of the cowherd boys who are playing with Krishna. And it describes how they were out in the forest, in the pasturing grounds with the cows or the calves, Krishna and the cowherd boys, and describes how they'd play games with each other, hide and seek. And then they would imitate the peacocks and call into a well as a joke so the echo would come back. and have playful sports, fighting among each other. And again, you may think, oh, well, that's what kids do, right? That's what they're cowherd kids. Nowadays they go to school, but they don't do that anymore. So the cows will all be, they'll be on massive farms and mass cow slaughter. It's all part of a syndrome. Send the kids to school, there's no one to look after the cows, no one wants to look after the cows. So you have few people looking after thousands of cows, arranging to torture them throughout their lives so that they can be sent to the slaughterhouse. That's what happened. Sending kids to school means it's the end of human culture, at least the present school system. Anyway, this verse describes, here are the boys, they're playing with Krishna, and having every day they would have good fun playing with Krishna. And what is their position? Srila Prabhupada would quote, itang satang brahma sukhana bhutya dasyam gatanam paradaivatena mayashritanam naradarakena sakang vijahru krita punya punjaha. Here is the Supreme Person who is considered the impersonal Brahman by great sages, the Supreme Personality of Godhead by devotees, and a product of material nature by ordinary men. Now these boys who have performed many, many pious activities in their past lives are playing with that Supreme Personality of Godhead. We also have in Brihad Bhagavatamrita the story of Gopa Kumar, who was a cowherd boy at Govardhan, and he went on his spiritual search, chanting his mantra given by his guru. He went all over, all to all different Vaishnavas on this earth planet, and then in the higher planets, and then on different places in between the material world, well, the coverings of the universe. And then he went to the spiritual world, and eventually after he'd been to Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, so many places, he went to Govardhan. He started at Govardhan and finished up in Govardhan. That is the perfection. It's all very difficult to understand. It doesn't seem to make any sense. It doesn't seem to make any sense because our own understanding is messed up. But it may not seem to make any sense even to great saintly people who are pursuing difficult sadhana to attain the spiritual world in an impersonal way, or those who worship God. Yeah, I was saying that. I didn't finish that point. If you're going to worship God, you should be majestic. You should be sitting on a big throne, long way above you, looking up. Or maybe you just hear his voice in a cave. You don't see him at all. You can't see him. If you try to see him, then you'll become blind. He's so bright. So very impressive person. And we find in the Bhagavatam description that sometimes Krishna is defeated in playful sports, fighting among the boys, and as a prize for the winners and a punishment for the losers, Krishna has to carry one of the cowherd boys on his back. That doesn't work. That doesn't work in Vaikuntha. You can't get on his back in Vaikuntha. No way. It's unthinkable. Even if we think like that, we cannot go to Vaikuntha. But if we don't think like that, if we don't think that I want to steal Krishna's lunchbox or similar such thoughts, then we can't go to Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada famously said that in the 1960s. Said, I want to go back to Godhead just so that I can steal Krishna's sweets from his lunchbox. And he told some of the devotees, you make these nice sweets, and you make them, and I'll bless you. you can go back to Godhead. Srila Prabhupada and his cowherd boyfriend, Mood. Another version of this name is Duravasa, when the U is not a short U, but it's a long U. So Dura means difficult and Dur means a long way away. So one who lives a long way away, so not easy to go to. How would you like to walk to Omalur? Nowadays, it's not that very far, but we're used these days to going by some mechanical contraption. So we wouldn't think of walking even to Omalur. How far is it away? 7 kilometers, something like that. We wouldn't even think of walking that far. When I was staying in Bangladesh in mostly the 1980s, we'd have programs in the villages and people would walk 5 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers, 20 kilometers to come to our program. That was the method of transport for most people. That was the only method of transport they had. So what about walking to Madurai? Then Padyatra. What about walking to Kerala? And then it becomes very difficult, unless you know the route. Then you get up against the mountains, right? The mountains come in between, unless you go via Palaghat, there's that way through, and then you can go past Amma's big college on the railway line as you go. So very far away. Oh, I left something in my room. Could someone come and get it? I left something in my room. Who wants to go and get it? Oh, I left something in Vellore. Someone want to go and get it? There's difference, isn't there? If it's just in my room, you say, I just came there last night, and I'm already calling it my room. Just see Maya. There's a difference. I left something in Vellore. Ah, well, okay, let it stay there. I have to go all the way to Vellore to get it. I left a book last time I came. I left a... Savagya, it's his fault. He left a book for me to read in Vellore, so we didn't think to send someone to bring it. Anyway, I'm going back, I'll get it in a few days. But something far away is not easy to get. So the same, why the either you say Duravas or Duravas? Difficult to go to his abode, or that his abode is far, far away. Either it comes to the same thing, difficult to get to. Srila Prabhupada taught us some basic spiritual mathematics. 16 plus 4 equals BTG. You got it? 16 rounds and 4 regulated principles means back to Godhead. He said it several times. If we chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily, and follow the 4 regulative principles, then we can go back to Godhead. So there you go. There's your mathematics class. Within our Gurukul, we can teach this formula. And actually, you don't need anything else. But as long as we're living in this world, we need a little something also. Because, for instance, we have to deal in money. So we need a little. Little regular arithmetic, and if we're a farmer, we might need a little geometry, something like that, how to measure a field and things like that. Otherwise, that's our formula. And that also doesn't seem to be so easy. There are so many devotees who vowed, as tomorrow it's planned an initiation ceremony. Devotees will vow to chant 16 rounds daily and follow 4 regulated principles. And many don't, even after vowing. Many people come to our programs. They like Krishna, here in India at least. People like Krishna consciousness. They like to come. They like to come for Janmashtami and different festivals like this. But still, it's difficult to get people to come to the level where they promise to chant 16 rounds and follow four regulated principles. It seems to be very difficult for them. They like Krishna consciousness, but the thought of 16 rounds and four regulated principles, we don't even say it to most people who come. Actually, we should. In one sense, we should tell people immediately when they come, just surrender everything and chant Hare Krishna and follow the four regular principles. Go back to Godhead. But we know most people, even if they like Krishna consciousness, they like to come to our programs, but they're not ready to hear these things. They're not even ready to hear it. They think it's, I don't know what they think, but it's hard for them to even think of that. And those who take the vow, unfortunately, and this is not making a pre-excuse for those who are going to take the vow tomorrow, some don't follow. Even many don't follow. There was just some discussion about how one has to have an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava as a guru. Well, I hope no one would question that Srila Prabhupada is an Uttamadhikari Vaishnava guru. But then so many of his disciples, they also didn't maintain the vows that they took. So a lot of the impetus is on the disciple. Even Krishna himself, if he comes, you don't have to surrender to him. Krishna showed himself. Krishna gave ample evidence to Duryodhana and others that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they just wouldn't accept it. Or even if they begrudgingly accepted it, they weren't going to surrender to him. Difficult. Duravas. Difficult to go to his abode. Srila Prabhupada would often say, "What is the difficulty?" Shruti Kirti Prabhu titled his book of memoirs as "What is the Difficulty?" One of Srila Prabhupada's common sayings. Do the needful. These common sayings of Srila Prabhupada. What is the difficulty? Why is it difficult to go to Krishna? Well, I'll discuss that a little more in a few minutes. Shankaracharya says that this duravas means it's not easy for the yogis who even go deeply into meditation to retain the vision of him or the thought of him in meditation. It's very difficult to attain the stage of yoga samadhi. What is that? There's yama, niyama, asana. Most people, even they can't sit it, and they can't even sit cross-legged nowadays. They're used to sitting on chairs and tables. So, and yama and niyama, that we're discussing, they can't even follow even basic rules of human behavior. And then pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. It's not easy to be a yogi, to attain the stage of samadhi. Dhyana avastita tadgatena manasa pasyanti yam yoginaha. The yogi is in the stage of perfect meditation. Dhyana avastita tadgatena, in the state of meditation, they're trying to have the vision of Vishnu. But even if they get, difficult to hold. He's hard to live in, we can say that. He's hard to live in. It's hard for us to live with it. It may be hard for people who are not in Krishna consciousness, to live with those who are in Krishna consciousness. It's just too much for them. He says, it's too Krishna conscious for me. Sometimes devotees come to join our community here in Salem, and they go away after a short time and say, oh, it's too hard. I like the atmosphere, like the kirtans and everything. It's too hard to stay. Too hard. Too Krishna conscious. Too whatever it is. They can't stay. Difficult to live in Krishna. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives a very similar meaning. With Shankaracharya, we can have the idea that he's talking about it's difficult to keep vision of Vishnu within the heart by the yogis who are meditating. But Baladev Vidyabhushan, who's a Vaishnava, a Gaurya Vaishnava commentator, he says a very similar thing, that it's difficult to have him live in our hearts. He lives in our heart, but to realize that, it's difficult to realize that because that requires surrender to him. So it makes it very difficult. Now this, we can all appreciate this, that we're trying to be Krishna conscious, but it's hard to always think of Krishna. In one of Srila Prabhupada's talks in France, he was speaking on one of the two verses, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha. He was speaking on this verse. I believe it was the 18th chapter, text 65, not the one at the end of the 9th chapter. So Srila Prabhupada started this class after going through the chanting, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhaktaha. Always think of me, become my devotee. And then Srila Prabhupada started the class. Generally, he started every one of his talks with the word so. So. And then, what is the difficulty? You're supposed to know everything. Yomam eva samurho janati purushottamam sa sarva vid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows Krishna, you see, that means you're not Krishna conscious. One who knows Krishna knows everything. Well, I must admit, I also don't know how to stop this buzzing sound. Hrishikesh knows everything. Sridharam sakalam veti. You know that verse? Shuka. What is that? Aham vedmi shuko veti. Aham vedmi shuko veti. Vyasa veti na veti va. Sridharam. Sakalam veti. What's the last line? Sridharam sakalam veti srinarsingha prasadanat. Well, that's the version in... there's one version, but there's another version in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Anyway, whatever. I know, Shukadeva Goswami says. Amvedmi, no, who says that? Shiva says, I know. Shukadeva Goswami knows. Maybe Vyasadeva knows. Ah. Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahya. Namedhaya, Nartikaya Namedhaya. The Bhagavatam is to be understood through the by bhakti, not by one's own intelligence, nor even by studying commentaries, exactly. But the there's another version, Sridharam Sakalam Veti, Srinarsingha Prasadanat, Sridhar Swami's commentary. Sridhar knows everything. By the mercy of Lord Nrsimha, he's a worshipper of Lord Nrsimha Dev. He knows everything. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, going off topic here, said, what is that? That this, what is that? This indicates the worship of Lord Nrsimha, something to do with jnana. Nrsimha is the giver of jnana. We don't generally hear like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's very difficult to retain him in our hearts, to keep thinking of Krishna. We find it's very difficult. It seems very hard. All we're doing 24 hours a day is supposed to help us to remember Krishna. But it seems to be very difficult. And then Srila Prabhupada at the beginning of the lecture, so what is the difficulty? Is it very difficult to think of Krishna? Srila Prabhupada said. Is there any difficulty? And when Srila Prabhupada said it, it seemed, no, there's no difficulty. When you're in the presence of Srila Prabhupada, it's hard not to think of Krishna. But generally we find it very difficult. Baladev Vidyabhushan, now this is very interesting for those of you who are interested in polemics between Sri Vaishnavas and Gaurya Vaishnavas, or just comparative theology, if you like that. We know that the Ramanuja Sampradaya, they say, especially this is emphasized to the maximum by the Tengalis, but it's there, that, yeah, Ramanuja himself said that. Bhakti yoga is very difficult. It's very hard to perform bhakti yoga. You can attain Krishna, Vishnu, Narayana by bhakti yoga. But that's a very difficult process, and the easy process is prapatti. You just surrender to him and finished, everything all over. Well, that's what the Tengalis say. The Vadigalis say, no, you have to go on and do your work also. Simplification. But Baladev Vidyabhushan says that, well, surrendering is very, in this regard, he says, surrendering is very difficult. He's hard to attain because surrendering is very difficult. It's easy to say, but it may not be very easy to do, actually. Manasa deho geho jo kichu ma apiluntu apade nandakisho. I give everything to you. To give the mind, that's supposed to be the first thing. Savai manmana bhava madbhakta. Savai mana krishna padara vinda. Supposed to be the first thing. But mantumi kisha vaishnava. What kind of vaishnava are you, my dear mind? That question comes. Here, the compiler of some of the notes, which I'm speaking by compiling different notes and adding different things. The compiler of these notes, whose name I don't remember, he's passed away now, Narasimha something, Sri Vaishnava. So he qualifies this statement of Baladev Vidyabhushan. In other words, he very politely re-explains it. That prapatti is the, he says, according to the Ramanuja Sampradaya, prapatti is the, or surrender. That's the word they generally use. We generally use the word sharanagati, but it's the same thing. So he says that prapatti is the easiest way to attain him, and there are, he says, five angas of prapatti, but we have six angas of sharanagati. But one of them, the five angas, or limbs of prapatti, of surrender, is Mahavishvasam, to have great faith that he will definitely protect us once we surrender to him. And that, of course, is based on one of the verses which is considered Charam Shloka in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, one being the Savadhaman Parityaja verse in the Bhagavad Gita. And then from Ramayana we have that. What is that? Sakrideva prapanno yast tavasmiti chayachate abhayam. What is it? Sarvada tasmai dadami etam etad vratamama. And that's the version we get in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, although apparently in different, in the Ramayana, as it is generally known, but it's the same meaning anyway. If Lord Rama says, In the case of Vibhishana, if one just surrenders to me once, I will protect him and award him fearlessness. That is my promise. So if we actually surrender to him, but then again, our Sri Vaishnava says, it's difficult to have that complete faith. And so it can be considered that prapatti is difficult in this sense. Actually, I don't really care. I don't really have any argument with the Sri Vaishnavas. I don't think it's worth arguing. It's not. All glories to them. We'll chant Hare Krishna and follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and. All glories to them. There's difference, somewhat different aim, somewhat different system, but they're glorious. Satyadeva Vashishta, a recent commentator, seems to be. He always gives novel meanings to the names that on all the Vishnu Sahasranam, on every one of them, but he backs it up with Shastric references in every case. Now, in many cases, Satyadeva Vashishta, in his commentary on Vishnu Sahasranam, he gives explanations of the name as concerning the role that the Supreme Lord plays in creating and maintaining this material world. So one meaning he gives here for Duravasa, he says that even living beings who live in very difficult conditions, he arranges for them to live in such difficult conditions. There are some living beings living at the bottom of the sea with no, completely dark. We couldn't live there for a set. We couldn't breathe, we couldn't take the pressure, we couldn't eat, we couldn't live, but they live there. To give he doesn't give this precise example. There are living beings living in fire. Srila Prabhupada always insisted on this. There are living beings living in fire. So he arranges for them to live in those difficult situations. Another meaning he gives, Satyadeva Vashishta. Because he is everywhere and in everything, it's hard to pin him down. Where is he exactly? God is everywhere. Well, where? Where is he? Exactly, where is he? May be hard to say. Years ago, I heard a recording of a discussion between our ISKCON's Hridayananda Maharaj and an atheist. I think it was a panel discussion, and there were some atheists on one side and some theists on the other. And one atheist said, because it had been proposed that, well, where is God? God is everywhere. And the atheist sarcastically said, well, is he in my pocket? How would you reply to that? He's in your pocket with your snotty handkerchief? Is he there? How would you reply to that? There's no single line reply. You have to say, yes, he's everywhere by his energies. He pervades everything by his energies, but it's a great science to understand it. Bhagavat tattva vijnanam, it is the science of understanding God. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yajnanam advayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabhyate. He pervades everything as Brahman, which is non-different from him. He's also andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam. He's also situated within every atom. He's in the snot also. translator. If you don't know what snot means, it's that green phlegm, mucus. Once you're Is he in there? Yes, but he's not touched by it. He's everywhere. He is everywhere, but it's difficult to convince an atheist. Another commentator, Krishnadatta Bharadvaj, gives a very important rider qualifies all these statements that God is difficult to attain. Durlabha, Durgama, Durg, and now Duravasa. Very important. He's difficult to attain, difficult to know, difficult to access, difficult to retain. All of these descriptions that he is difficult to get to apply to those who do not strive with sincerity. He is difficult to attain for those who don't try very hard. He is difficult to know for those who are not intelligent enough to seek him. Right? You can't know God if we're not trying, if we don't make the decision to try to find him, then we're not going to find him. I lost my keys. Well, did you find them? No. Why? Did you look? No. And you're not going to find them. He is inaccessible and impenetrable like a fortress for those who are not enthusiastic enough to storm the fortress. We really have to be into it. We have to be enthusiastic to attain Krishna. And it's difficult to retain in the heart for those who are not collected and calm enough in their meditation. Of course, we have a different method of meditation, which is not being collected and calm necessarily, but fully active in Krishna's service. However, Krishnadatta Bharadvaj says, he is sulabham, tasyaham sulabham partha, nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For those yogis who ananya cheta satatam yomam smarati nityashaha, those who always remember him, he's easier to attain. And coming up soon in Vishnu Sahasranam is another name for the Supreme Lord, Sulabha. So he's Durlabha and he's also Sulabha, both difficult to attain and easy to attain. So if we are sincere, then Krishna is easy to attain. Otherwise, it may take many, many lifetimes. And then we may still not attain him. Mukti dadati karihichit smana bhakti yogam. He may give liberation very easily, but not the benediction of linking with him through devotion, because he becomes controlled by his devotee. So he's not going to give himself to someone who's not fully devoted to him. That becomes very dangerous. He doesn't have any inclination to do so either. For those who in their heart long to attain him, not only do the obstacles that are standing in between him and us and make it difficult to attain him, not only do they not exist, he personally removes them. And we'll see in the upcoming names, some of the upcoming names, how Krishna himself removes the obstacles on the devotee's path to attain him. For instance, one of the upcoming names is Durarihan, one who kills the very bad enemies, which also means he removes the obstacles on the path of the devotees attaining him. Hare Krishna. That's all I'll say for now. And all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya vacha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha dante nithaya churnakam padayo nipatya kritva chaka kashatumata etata humbravimi hi sadhava sakala eva vihaya durat gauranga chandu charane kuruta nuraga parivadatu jano yata tata vananu mukaro navayang vichara Hari Rasa Madhira Madhati Mata Bhuvi Viluta Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.